It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, News from the Nest here on this featured artist Friday in Chicago. Anything you want to hear from them, send a request. Pause for text line 410-583-1057. Ravens going to Dallas. Favorite in this game over the Cowboys. Both teams coming off of disappointing home losses. Last Sunday, Dallas blown up by New Orleans. Ravens blown 2 10-point leads against the Las Vegas Raiders. But Zach Orr, Ravens' new defensive coordinator, met with the media yesterday talking about various subjects relating to his squad and looks back at what happened in the second half of that Raiders debacle.
First thing, I got to give him credit, man. They executed. You know, he moved around and made some plays, things we didn't want to happen. And I'm always a person that's always going to self-evaluate myself. So looking back at it, I felt like I could have did some different things to help our team out, you know, try to control that. So, you know, hats off to Minshew and the Raiders. You know, they came in the second half and, you know, they out-executed us and they beat us. So, but I'm a person like you guys are going to know, I'm going to always take accountability and look at myself in the mirror. So looking back at the film, there's definitely some spots in there where I feel like I could have did some things different.
Allow myself to introduce myself, says Zach Orr, but 2 10-point leads disappeared. Yeah, there were some breakdowns, some matchup problems, I guess, Nolan, for the Ravens against Davante Adams. Bowers made some improvise and adapt, getting open situations. Gardner Minshew, for the second year in a row, wins at M&T Bank Stadium. But two games in, I'm not saying we need to fire Zach Orr. I still think there's big upside, but you would figure it's time to start playing to the strengths of your personnel here.
Right, and any time you're blowing a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, you're scrambling for reasons, excuses, whatever it may be. And look, that was a full-team loss. I think we've recapped that pretty well throughout the week, that
right,
all three phases played a big role in the late-game collapse. But just strictly for a defensive perspective, yeah, some penalties in there. You can call some of them bogus. Won't disagree with you, but I mean, Brandon Stevens, the pass interference in the end zone, from my perspective, for me, I got no problem with the ref throwing that flag. He was grabbing him. He let go, but there was some fighting going on there. So I don't think that that's a completely egregious call, and you got to know when you're in the end zone, you know, the ref's standing right there. They're looking to throw the flag. It's a high-leverage play. You can't do it. So look, it's on them. It's on the Ravens. I will say this, though. Gardner Minshew finishes the day 30 of 38. Did not expect that from him. 276 yards. He flat out made some throws. It wasn't like he was lobbing it up there and Davante Adams was bailing him out. He put the ball on the money a lot of times.
Jeff's Reback tweeting this out. So is Jonas and everyone out there at One Winning Drive. No Sala at practice. Nate Wiggins was there, but he's got the red jersey on. So we'll see what this means for him moving forward against the Cowboys on Saturday at 4:25. But getting back to Zach Orr, hey, when things happen and they don't go your way, it's all about accountability, right, Zach?
You know, guys, that's one thing that I think nobody's hanging their head around now, and why we so excited and we still motivated to continue to go out here and get better and try to get some wins on the board, because guys are holding themselves accountable. You know, I'm holding myself accountable. The players hold themselves accountable. Every coach in here is doing that. So when you got that and there's nobody blaming each other or playing a blame game, I think that you can build and move forward and continue to get better. So that's what I'm excited about.
Well, it sounds like, Nolan, they understand what the mistakes were. They're not pointing fingers. They need to, you know, man up, if you will, and correct these things. But if this continues to be a trend, recognizing that things aren't going your way and understanding the my bad scenarios of it, it becomes white noise because people are going to get sick of hearing it. Now, we all saw what happened. When are you going to start rectifying these things?
Right, and you were mentioning it a few segments ago about Mike McDonald, his start when he got the job as defensive coordinator here. That was, look, there's some rough blown losses there in the fourth quarter, and kind of the same situation we saw with the Ravens and Chiefs in week one, where, you know, guys aren't playing the right coverages and, you know, talented wide receivers are running free. I think back to that Dolphins game a couple years ago. I mean, why is Tyreek Hill just running by himself down the sideline? That should never happen. Complete communication breakdown. So if that's happening on a one-game basis and you correct it from there, that's fine. But unfortunately, you're now sitting at 0-2. So what do we say? The Ravens win a close one. Might not be the best game, might not be the prettiest game, but you'd rather learn from your mistakes so to win. Now they're 0-2. You're fighting an uphill battle here. There's not much more room for error here.
Now you have the Cowboys at home, probably salty after getting blown out. Dak Prescott just got all this money. CeeDee Lamb's a highly paid dude. But for the Ravens, Zach Orr, your defense, what's the key here?
Those guys, like I said, the thing that's most excited about it, they're a prideful group. It's a talented group. We haven't lived up to the standard that we expect of ourselves. And that's not just on them. That's on, you know, that's on me and that's on us as well. So we're working hard every single day to figure it out. Those guys are busting their butts off in the meeting rooms and on the practice field to get to the level that we know we can get at. And, you know, I'm proud of how they're approaching, you know, this adversity. And, you know, like I said earlier, it's not a spot that nobody envisioned, specifically, especially that group.
I mean, he mentioned adversity, and at 0-2, the entire team, it's adverse for them, offense included. But the Ravens' defense was expected to be one of the best in the NFL, and it still may be. The surprise has been, Nolan, that the pass rush has exceeded expectations, but the secondary has been very leaky and allowing some big plays. We talked about it all week long. I mean, the Raiders were hitting big plays all second half long there, which is unacceptable.
Right, and what's maybe more disappointing for me is that you were very fortunate with your health heading into the season, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Sure, Nate Wiggins missed last week, but are we really going to point to that as a major reason why they lost? I don't think so. You're very fortunate, whereas this time last year, you know, Marlon Humphrey was still out working his way back. You really had a bunch of question marks in that secondary until Brandon Stevens established himself and started playing like a true number one corner. So this year, you're much better off. You have all the pieces you need on paper. They're just not getting the results.
News for the Nest here on this Featured Artist Friday. And finally, Zach Orr. You have key players. Hey, that CeeDee Lamb comes to mind. Dak Prescott, the key to shutting them down is what?
You know, I thought we took a step this past week, but it still wasn't good enough from a sense of communication standpoint, and it's various different things. A couple times, you know, receivers make, you know, great plays. We played a couple of good receivers. Obviously, Devonta Adams, he's been one of the better ones for over a decade. But I feel like we're right there. We're real close. We just got to continue to tighten up the screws just a little bit. And I think as coaches, we could do a better job just making sure that guys are fully locked in, fully understand what's going on. So I think that we're on our way.
Now, CeeDee Lamb, you know what you're getting there. Dallas can't run the ball. We'll talk more about this with Eric Edholm later in the show. But there's always that other guy. Like Brandon Cooks had the touchdown against Cleveland. There's always someone else that kind of comes out of the woodwork. Worthy had a big first game. Granted, he's going to be a stud, we think. But his first game, he's running all over the Ravens. CeeDee Lamb stopping him. Yeah, we get it. But how are you going to neutralize the other? Like Brock Bowers made big plays for the Raiders outside of Devontae Adams as well.
Right. I mean, you take that as it comes. It starts with CeeDee Lamb, though. And, you know, we'll hear Vinny's keys to victory in a few segments. But if it was up to me, top of my list would be just simply shutting down Lamb and go from there. I mean, if someone else is going to beat you, so be it. I'm not going to let him be the guy that goes off and has a big day.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Let's count some weekend money, hopefully, buy or sell. Talk about sports subjects, and there are plenty of those heading into this weekend. Vinny's Keys with Vinny coming up around 12:30. The American League East Report and beyond at 12:45. We're coming into the final week of the season. 9 games left, so we're going to have some playoff determination. Some teams have already clinched. two divisions, well, one division title has already been clinched. We'll get into all of that and more. The Orioles get a big win yesterday. Can they build on this momentum? As we said, Eric Edholm from NFL.com. We'll look at week three with him. We'll do our picks for this coming week, college and pro. I'm still maintaining a slight edge, if I'm not mistaken. So I want to stay on top, man. Looking up is not good. And then Jacob Calvin-Meyer from the Baltimore Sun. Talk about that win yesterday and look ahead to the Tigers, then the Yankees, and then the Twins. Can the Orioles hold off Kansas City and get at least the wild card round at Oriole Park in Kansas?
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cannon Yard.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney. 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday in Chicago. Busy weekend in the world of sports. We'll get into all of it. Vinny's Keys coming up in a couple of minutes. Got your American League East report around 12:45. Eric Edholm, NFL.com, going to have some NFL lunch with us. We'll do our picks for week three, week four, week three NFL, week four college. Got Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun, preview the Tigers series, which starts tonight. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. But Nolan, let's count that dough by yourself.
All right. Mostly red here. Dow Jones is down $34. S&P 500 down slightly, $17.61. DraftKings also in the red, down 40 cents. But Under Armour, give us something positive. They're up 9 cents today. So we'll close with the green there.
All righty.
Speaking of the green, the Packers. Jordan Love suffered that injury in week one against the Eagles. And when that happened, a lot of people assumed the worst. Just 14 days later, though, there's headlines about him returning to the practice field, possibly being in line to suit up against the Titans this Sunday. Adam Schefter reported that the team is treating it as day-to-day, and as of now, his status is truly 50-50. Now, this Tennessee team that they're going up against, not exactly world beaters either, but they are slight favorites at home over Green Bay right now. Buy or sell, Bob, there's no need to rush Love back for this week. Just wait until Monday the 30th when they face the Dolphins.
No, I'm buying that 100%. And look, you don't think Malik Willis would be motivated to play against Tennessee, the team that drafted him a couple of years ago? And look, the line hasn't changed. Titans right now, 3-point favorites. So I don't know if the fix is in. If we saw the line moving a little bit, you get an idea of whether or not Jordan Love is going to play. But yeah, I'm buying it. Take a seat. You can pull this one out. Let your defense force Will Levis into a mistake that we think will be part of their reality, and then save Jordan Love for a Dolphins team that is themselves dealing with a backup quarterback.
Well, the Eagles, their offense had to operate without their top wide receiver, A.J. Brown, on Monday night, and it sounds like they may have to play without him for a little while longer. He told him, Lisa Salters, reporting on Monday night that A.J. Brown himself said that he's going to be out a few more weeks. Nick Sirianni wouldn't confirm it, but that Philly offense, we know it's still bursting with talent. Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert, just to name a few. Are you buying or selling, though, the Brown loss will actually be detrimental to their offensive results?
I'll soft buy it. It all depends on how long his absence is going to be. But they have Johan Dotson, too, right? Winning a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. So try to incorporate him a little bit more into the Saquon Barkley's going to look to redeem himself after dropping that third down pass against Atlanta. Short term, they can hang. Long term, this could be a problemo for Philadelphia. By the way, 2.5-point underdogs at New Orleans.
Well, Texas is your new number one in college football, and they'll have a new quarterback under center for tomorrow night's matchup when they host University of Louisiana Monroe. Arch Manning going to be making his first start of his collegiate career, taking over for a banged-up Quinn Ewers. Remains to be seen when their Heisman-caliber quarterback will be back. But for tomorrow, certainly you know, it's not a matchup that scares you if you're Texas. We'll just put it that
way. You're not scared?
Well, they're 44.5-point favorites.
I was going to say.
against Louisiana Monroe there. Buy or sell, Manning puts on a show, helps the Longhorns cover the massive spread.
Oh, 44.5. You never want to go that deep. But yes, I'm buying it. His Heisman odds are actually lower right now, or better, I should say, than yours. After one game, talking about Quinn Ewers maybe being a top five pick in next year's draft. But Arch Manning, who is Cooper Manning's son, Archie's grandson, right? I'm connecting dots correctly here, I believe. Yeah, he's going to put on a show, and Louisiana Monroe, undefeated at 2-0, by the way. They're going to get their first L, and it's probably... The funny thing is, Nolan, the spread's 44 in favor of Texas, but the over-under is only 52.5. So there you go.
Make that make sense.
Yeah.
Well, J.K. Dobbins, he's loving life with a new team. Over 130 rushing yards in both games so far this season. A touchdown to go along with those performances. This has him in line for a potential spot in the history books. Just six running backs in the history of the league have rushed for 100 yards with a touchdown in three consecutive games to begin a season.
Oh, wow.
We're talking about the likes here of Jim Brown, Emmitt Smith, Curtis Martin, O.J. Simpson. Oddly enough, 49ers running back Jordan Mason, he's in the exact same spot as J.K. Dobbins. Both of those guys could go in the history books this weekend. Buy or sell, Bob, both get the job done. 100 yards and a touchdown.
I'm going to sell it because I don't think Dobbins is going to be running all over Pittsburgh personally. I think Mason could do it against the Rams, the beleaguered L.A. defense, but I'll sell it. I don't see both of them doing that. But, Nolan, you can attest to this. I've always been a pro J.K. Dobbins guy, and I said it, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but if he stays healthy, he can play. Might not be as fast as he used to be, but we've seen early results to that effect.
And we'll close it out in Major League Baseball. The Mets playing some of their best ball at the right time, trying to close in on a wild card spot, trying to find a way to navigate injuries as well. A big one for them this season, Kodai Senga, their pitcher. He only made one start. That was back in July. Shoulder issues, calf issues, you name it. He's had to deal with it this year. But he says he wants to be back by the end of the regular season. Will only do so if he's 100%. So when he was asked, hey, where are you at right now? Earlier this week said somewhere between 70 and 80%. So take that for what it is. Buy or sell, Bob. Senga can at the very least be an effective bullpen piece for the Mets in October.
Yeah, I'll buy it because he wants to get that playoff love going on here. And the fact that he looked to be out for the season, the fact they're even talking about him possibly getting back for late in the season and in October, I think that would motivate him. So, yeah, he can be effective. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I will buy it. Hey, the Mets are percolating. They puffy pants the Phillies last night. We'll get to that when we do the AL East and Beyond report coming up in about 20 minutes. But when we come back, keys the victory. Ravens are 0-2. 0-3 is unacceptable. 0-2 surprising. 0-3 is unacceptable. How do they avoid that? Vinny will give us his keys to victory. Again, the baseball report around 12:45. Eric Edholm from NFL.com. Talks of football with him 2 weeks in. Jets win handily last night. Are they for real in that AFC East because of the injuries in Miami? Is it Buffalo, New York, and everybody else? We'll get into all of that. We'll do our picks for week three in the NFL, week four college, and then Jacob. Calvin Meyer, Baltimore Sun, talk about the Orioles and Tigers. Tigers, hottest team in baseball right now, one of anyway, as they have now qualified for at least a tie for the last wild card. The Orioles, can they catch the Yankees and their hopes for this weekend against Detroit?
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient, we're moving on, and we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this featured artist Friday, Chicago. Got the American League East report coming up here in a matter of minutes. Eric Edholm, NFL.com, top of the hour. But the Ravens are looking for their first victory of 2024. They are favored on the road at Dallas, coming off a blowout loss themselves at home to the New Orleans Saints. Let's get the keys from Vinny Serrato himself. Vinny, first of all, how you feeling after yesterday?
Feel good, Bob. I tell you what, the procedure went extremely well. He said he got everything out of there, so I shouldn't have any arrhythmia anymore. So We'll know in a couple of weeks for sure. But, yeah, that was good. And, Bob, let me just say this. All the people there, like, I texted you, like, when I was getting wheeled down because the lady who was taking me down, you know, to surgery or to the room, she goes, I love listening to you guys. And she says, you tell Haney he's my favorite because I'm from Baltimore and so is he.
Damn right. Let's make this happen. That's great to hear, and I'm glad you're doing well. And fingers crossed moving forward. But let's get these fingers crossed, Vinny, for the Ravens trying to pick up this first win. Give us them keys, trying to avoid an 0-3 start, which would be an absolute disaster for them.
Yeah, Bob, I watched Dallas film this morning, and I watched the game, Dallas's game last week against New Orleans. I mean, it was so bad that I said, they can't be that bad. I got to watch the Cleveland game, too. Now, number one key I got is don't let C.D. Lamb beat you. To me, he's the only weapon that they have. Nobody else scares me. Nobody else scares me on that offense other than C.D. Lamb. And number two, secondary, please show up. Please show up. You know, I mean, Stevens, you got to show up. And Marlon, you got to have better effort than you had in the second half. And Hamilton, time for you to be the all-pro again, man, and be all over the field. Marcus Williams needs to get some picks.
What's Hamilton's malfunction so far through two games? Because he missed with a back earlier. Did you notice a guy that might be laboring a little bit or no?
I don't know. He's been missing tackles, and he just hadn't been making impact plays yet.
Right.
And I can't figure out exactly why he doesn't seem to be. They used him a little bit more this past week in different places. And maybe if Wiggins is back and they can put Humphrey on the inside, Bob, and then they can use Hamilton a little bit more, you know, that's a possibility. But he and Roquan too, those two guys when we come in on Monday, we got to say, yeah, those guys look like, they looked last year.
Right.
You know, and we hadn't said that this year yet because we've said both of them. Both of them hadn't played up to their capabilities. And I think Orr said that yesterday. I don't know how much you guys played, Bob, but listen to that interview. I mean, you know, he was making a lot. He was saying a lot, but really saying nothing because he knew they didn't play well.
Accountability. We heard that a lot here.
Yeah. All right, then make Dak move around. He's not as accurate if he moves around. And Bob, their two tackles, Dallas's two tackles, left tackle, right tackle, they're not that good. They're not that good. So they should be able to get pressure. And the center, I wasn't impressed with the center at all. I think inside, Travis Jones and Pierce, they're going to get some pressure up the middle. And if so, and they can get Dak to move to his left, I think then he's not as accurate. I think that'll be a big part of it too. Number four is offense over 150 yards rushing. And they should. I mean, Bob, I sent you some clips of fundamentally Dallas's defense was horrible. Horrible. They got hooked. And it wasn't just the outside guy getting hooked. It was the defensive tackle getting hooked. The linebackers get hooked. Kamara, he runs 15 yards without even getting touched to the end zone. It was embarrassing. And their effort was terrible. It's got to be better this week. It's got to be because they look like they didn't want to be there. And their defensive tackle, whoever number 58 is, he looks like a littler guy. I'm telling you, he was awful. Awful.
Mozzie Smith.
The old line can knock some people off the ball a little bit.
Mozzie Smith is number 58.
Yeah, Mozzie wasn't too good, Bob. And then I've got over 65 yak yards. Dallas didn't tackle well. I didn't think they tackled well in either game. So, and we've got guys that can make people miss. You know, I mean, Flowers is good at that. Likely's really good at that. Bateman's good at that. So, 65 yak yards, I think that's a definite possibility because they're secondary. I mean, Diggs is a gambler because he wants to get interceptions, but he doesn't have great speed. The two safeties don't run that well. I mean, New Orleans hit them, both safeties deep. Too deep, they hit them on a post route, and the receiver was behind them. So I think they can get those yak yards. And last but not least, Bob, this one may be tough. Have the better kicker.
Well, if it goes beyond 50 right now, disadvantage Ravens based on recent history.
Oh,
right?
No doubt. Dallas kicker, Aubrey's 8-for-8. And I think last week, Bob, the only kicker to miss over a 50-yarder was Tucker. Otherwise, every other one over 50 was made.
And Tucker used to be the automatic dude. from Beyond 50. So, Vinny, we're about to do the picks here in a couple minutes. Since we have you on the phones, give us your pick for the Ravens game against Dallas and tell us why you're picking that particular team to get the W here.
So I'm going to take the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to be able to run the ball, and I think they're going to make some plays offensively in the pass game, that number one offense. So I think, and especially to the left side. Bob, have we heard anything about any changes in the offensive line?
No. Saleh was not at practice again today. That doesn't really affect things in regards to the starters, but in regards to who's going to be there starting five against Dallas, no idea. Expectations are that they still think Lele will be at right guard there.
Well, he's going against a littler guy, so maybe. And just run left because I think they're going to be able to get outside. I think Henry has a big day. I got 27-17. I hope they don't score 17, but I think the Ravens can score 27 and possibly more. I mean, New Orleans had 35 at the half. So run the football, play action pass. Run and play action pass. That's what I see a lot of this week.
That's what Derek Carr did to him last week. Vinny Serrato. Vinny, glad you're feeling better. We'll see you Sunday for Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, the pregame show, correct?
You got it. I'll see you Sunday.
You got it, man. There's Vinny Serrato. Everybody likes the Ravens by 10 this coming Sunday in Dallas. Nolan and I will do our picks when we come back, get to the college games as well. Eric Edholm, NFL.com, he'll be joining us top of the hour. No, we're doing our picks at 1:15. My bad. We got American League East Report coming up next. Hey, we could pick them too. We could pick whatever we want. It's America. We could do whatever we feel like doing. So picks next. Wait a minute. AL East next. Picks at 1:15. Jake of Calvin Meyer Funhouse, then Inside Access, then it's going to be a bittersweet day. It's the last BBT of the regular season, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, live from Pickles Pub. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you're going to have some fun. And the Chuck Bucks are plentiful. We're eating good tonight in Baltimore.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Good evening, Haney, 105.7 The Fan, the American League East Report and beyond. Orioles win yesterday 5-3, walking off Anthony Santander, saving the Orioles after they blew the save, Dominguez, in the top of the ninth inning there. Orioles finally getting more than three runs in a contest. Soto gets the win. Just one pitch, gets a big double play ground ball. Holiday, two ribbies, Adley drove in a run, so the Orioles break their three-game losing streak and pick up a much-needed win. Helps the cause. Kansas City was off, so the Orioles getting a half a game on them. Now three up in that last wild card. Yankees lose to Seattle, which we'll get to here in a second. So the Orioles are only, air quotes, four games off the lead in the American League's Eastern Division. That still appears to be somewhat of a long shot to be accomplished, but still got games to play. Tigers are here. Corbin Burns is on the hill for Baltimore. I'm still looking to see who Detroit's starting pitcher is going to be. Tigers have won four in a row. They're now tied with Minnesota for the last wild card in the American League. Orioles 85-68 on the year, 43-35 here at Camden Yards. Corbin Burns 2-1 with a 158 or 150 in the month of September after a dismal August for him, which pretty much knocked him out of any sort of Cy Young consideration. He's 14-8 with a 306 for the year, but pitching like the Cy Young winner that he is and the guy that's going to get a ton of dough in the offseason. So Corbin Burns trying to do his thing tonight against the red-hot Detroit Tigers. But elsewhere in baseball, speaking of Seattle and New York, Yankees go for the sweep. Yankees already clinched a playoff spot previous day. J.P. Crawford came up big for the Mariners, who needed this one.
Finds a wide-open left side. Nicely done. 3-0 Mariners. RBI for J.P. Crawford is 37th.
3-2 final score. That was Root Sports on the call. Yankees do win the series, however, 2-1, and they will go to Oakland. We'll get to the schedule as well. Last night, we talk about the Twins. They had a four-game series in Cleveland, try to handle their business, maybe even make a run possibly at the American League Central, but it did not go their way. And another late-inning disaster for the Twins.
Swung and ripped to right. There's a base hit. Hitting third, coming for home, Ramirez. He will score in the
Andrés Giménez with the game-winning hit in the 10th inning. 3-2 was the final score. That was Bally Sports on the call. The Guardians take 3 out of 4 from Minnesota during that series. And as you heard, Cleveland clinches a playoff spot. Probably going to be wrapping that division up here maybe over the weekend. Atlanta got a huge win against the Reds yesterday. Olsen, Harris, both 2 home runs. Mets, puffy pants, Philly, 10-6. Mets hit 4 home runs. So they maintain that 2-game advantage over the Atlanta Braves, that last wild card spot in the National League. Some games of import today. Tigers at Orioles. Looks like Montero's going to get the start now for Detroit. 6-6 with a 460. It's on Apple TV. So if you're not coming down to Fan Appreciation Weekend, Oriole Park Academy Yards, you can watch it on Apple Television. But it's Detroit against Baltimore. Braves are at the Marlins. We just saw what happened in Miami yesterday as Shohei Ohtani went 6-for-6, 3 homers, 10 ribbies, 2 stolen bases to get to 50-50. He's actually now at 51-51. And we talked about this earlier in the show a couple of times. A lot of people thinking this was the greatest individual game ever in the history of baseball, no matter what level, backyard wiffle ball, little league, pony league, high school, whatever. Greatest game ever played. And it was impressive, and it deserves to be considered. But we talked about this as well. Rick Wise threw a no-hitter back in 71 for the Phillies, beat Ross Grimsley, and hit 2 homers in the process. Now, it wasn't September, it wasn't pennant race stuff, didn't set achievements historically, no one's ever been 50-50, I get all that. I don't know, man, just talking about one game? That's Kelly Leak stuff. Even though Kelly Leak technically didn't pitch for the Bad News Bears, it was Tatum O'Neill. I forgot what her name was in the movie, but we digress. But the Braves at the Marlins, Twins at Boston, Minnesota, trying to hold off the Tigers. Red Sox are pretty much toast. Phillies and Mets again. In New York, Philly's going to be clinching the division, but the Mets are trying to hold off the Braves, as we said. Seattle, not on fumes, but getting there. They're in Texas, taking on the soon-to-be ex-world champion Texas Rangers. Astros kind of trying to close out the West. They host the Angels. D-backs at the Brujas. Brewers have already clinched the Central. Arizona trying to maintain wild card, doing a good job of that. Royals, who have lost 4 in a row. Michael Waka 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 taking on the Giants, who just took 2 out of 3 from the Orioles here. Padres host the White Sox. San Diego's looking good. They're only 3.5 behind the Dodgers in the West. Yankees at Oakland as the A's close out their Oakland tenure. And the Dodgers taking on the Rockies. The division standings, Yankees 4 up on the Orioles. You got 6.5 Cleveland versus Kansas City. You got Houston 5 up on the Seattle Mariners there. Phillies are going to win the East. They're 6 up on the Mets. Milwaukee's already clinched. And the Dodgers are 4 up on the Padres. If the playoffs started today, the wild cards in the American League would be the Orioles, Kansas City, and Minnesota. Seems to own the tiebreaker over Detroit right now. Seattle's 2 back. And in the National League, it's San Diego, Mets, and Diamondbacks with the Braves 2 off the pace. Nolan, as the Orioles get ready for Detroit, it's only 1 win, but does the 1 win yesterday make you feel a little bit better about Baltimore securing the top wild card, especially since Kansas City's kind of flatlining here?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to feel good for 24 hours. I mean, you take it for what it is. We've seen this team collect wins here and there throughout this rough stretch that they've been in over the past month. That when they had that win last weekend, I think it was Game 2 against Detroit. You got a great start from Corbin Burns. The offense showed up for one night. You're thinking, all right, this is the one. But we've seen it time and time again. They look like they're in line to go on a run, and then it's right back to same old the next day. So we'll see what they do tonight.
I am more confident that the offense could be effective in October. I think when they're finished, Oriole fans since birth, I don't see them winning the World Series. I think what ultimately will doom them, Nolan, will be the inconsistencies at the back end of the bullpen.
So not even the offense anymore.
I think I could see Gunnar, Santander, Adley, maybe even Holiday, maybe rise up and compete with the sticks. But I just see them blowing leads to the point where their season will come to a disappointing end.
Right, and you think about the way yesterday was playing out until, you know, Santander saves the day at the end. You know, if you want to win in the playoffs, you're going to have to win a lot of one-run games. You're really not going to find yourself in a lot of situations where you're just dominating or blowing out the competition. So protecting a one-run lead for the final three innings, you know, Sir Anthony Dominguez, you know, Cano did the job, Perez did the job. Comes down to Dominguez in the end, and he couldn't get the job done. So I don't necessarily disagree with you. Even if the offense does show up, could still blow it in the end.
Yeah, and I could see, you know, somebody getting hot for a short series to carry them offensively a little bit. But Cano, and you mentioned him, and he was great yesterday, and he had been banged up a little bit. I think we've seen the last 2 years he's best suited in a high-leverage setup role. Closer's not his friend.
No, but
He'll get his saves on occasion, but when he's the closer, it doesn't seem to be as effective.
Well, depending on how the next nine games play out, how much Dominguez gets used in that time, wouldn't be surprised if Hyde does go into the postseason with Cano as his guy for the closing spot. I don't disagree with you. He's shown time and time again that that can be just a bit of a too tall of a task for him, but got no choice in the playoffs. If he's your best, that's who you roll with.
Hey, let's go glass half full real quick before we hit the top of the hour for NFL lunch, and then Eric Edholm's going to be joining us. Orioles are going to go to the playoffs for the second straight year. First time they've done that since 96-97. So there you go. Even that five-year stretch with Buck Showalter where they won more games than anybody in the American League, it was playoffs, not playoffs, not playoffs. Then the bottom fell out. So back-to-back playoff appearances. There you go. 3 years ago, this was the worst team in baseball, or one of the worst. They were the worst. They got the first pick in the draft.
Right.
So there you go. What the hell are you whining about? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, NFL Lunch next.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.